listening to Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loans that fit your life. Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, don't look now, but the NBA regular season is quickly coming to an end, and we'll be heading into the postseason soon. Let's go out to our Progressive guest line. Progressive making it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. Get your quote at progressive.com today. One of our favorite guests, Lee Ellis of The Athletic, also No Dunks Podcast, to talk some NBA. How are you, Lee?
Good, thanks, Tony. How are you?
I'm very good, thank you. All right, let's get to it. This play-in game thing, this tournament that we saw in the bubble, we're already starting to see some people speaking out on this. Does it have more legs than just this year? Are people just waking up to maybe thinking this wasn't a good idea, or is it a good idea?
Oh, I think it's a great idea. I think it's one of those situations where people always say, oh, we need some change, we need to mix things up a little bit. Okay, we're going to mix it up. And then when it doesn't suit somebody, they're like, no, I don't like this. I want it the old way, the other way that we're used to. But I think this is a fantastic initiative by Adam Silver and the NBA because, let's be honest, you know, when we get to playoff time, usually we sort of dismiss pretty much the teams 6, 7, and 8, for the most part in the playoffs. I mean, there's the obviously the We Believe Warriors that pulled the huge upset back in 2007. And then the Memphis Grizzlies actually pulled off an upset when they dropped to 8th spot and got the San Antonio Spurs about 2012, I think it was.
Yeah.
But those things are the anomalies. You know, they don't happen very often. But now we're talking with legit interest about what might happen. And we actually get, in theory, we get a bit of a playing game tonight because it's the Lakers and the Blazers. This is for the series. This is for the number 6 spot for today. Now, there's still, you know, half a dozen or so games left for these teams throughout the season. So this doesn't decide it finally for the season. But this is the sort of excitement that Adam Silver was hoping to create because we know he's a big fan of European soccer. And what happens in the European soccer is towards the end of the season, throughout the season, teams get relegated, and there's a battle between those teams at the bottom who are trying to avoid relegation. So I think this is great because the fact that LeBron James said, you know, this sucks and I want whoever came up with it fired is actually good for the league because it brings more attention to what they're trying to do. Now, is it perfect? Maybe, maybe not. We don't really know. But I just think that it's a great way to at least try something new to see if it resonates with fans because I think it is a good thing. You've got a team like the Memphis Grizzlies, currently 9th. Now, they're currently in the play-in tournament and most likely will finish in the play-in tournament, exactly where we don't know. But you've got one of the most exciting players, Ja Morant, potentially in a situation where we get to see what he's like in a playoff atmosphere. So I think it's only positive. And of course, you know, Mark Cuban was another. Other didn't like it, but that was when it looked like the Mavs might be in the playing tournament as well. So I think this is great for the league. It creates another little bit of excitement. And really, there's only, I mean, I guess you could say the Thunder, the Wolves, and the Rockets who've got completely no chance of making it. The Kings have got, the tiniest hope there. And the Pelicans could also squeeze in. They've actually closed their gap between them and the Spurs down to a game and a half. So I think this is exactly what the league wants. You know, more sort of talking about not just who's at the top of the standings, but who could get in. And then when those teams get into the playoffs, can they go any farther? You know, can they cause an upset? So I think it's a positive for the league.
I can also see a team going like Miami going, look, hey, we're playing hard. We've played hard all season. If the playoffs were to start today, we've earned that 7 seed. And now my playoff hopes could be manipulated by a team like Washington that's 10th, that's playing really good basketball right now, and Russell Westbrook is back on doing triple-doubles. I can see them going, yeah, I don't want to be messing with a hot team at the right time.
Yeah, but if you are the Wizards, aren't you like oh, well, this is exactly what we want. We got
sure,
off to a
exactly.
terrible start,
yeah.
You know? Yeah, you know, Westbrook, it was funny how Westbrook in Houston last year got off to a bad start. It looked like he was washed up. And then he sort of just figured it out after the first 6 weeks or so. Same thing happened in Washington. They were 17-32 at one point. Right now, they're 31-36. Westbrook's gone on this triple-double stretch. And this is what it's all about. I mean, the play-in tournament is not necessarily about where you finish. It's about how well you're playing at the time. So I think it just creates that extra excitement because the one thing, you know, going back to the We Believe Warriors, for example, I think they won like 8 of their last 9 games just to make the playoffs.
Sure.
And that's when they upset the Mavericks. So they were playing the right basketball. And, I mean, no one feels sorry for the Mavericks either. Everyone's like, wow, that's a great story. That's what we want. So, you know, and imagine we get Russell Westbrook in the first round versus Kevin Durant and James Harden of the Brooklyn Nets, who themselves are actually dropped four in a row here. They've sort of hit a bit of a rough patch, and potentially they're not even 100% healthy. I mean, I think in that situation, I think everyone's pulling outside of Brooklyn. Everyone's pulling for the Wizards, because that's the kind of thing we want to see here in the NBA playoffs. So, I think in a team like the Miami Heat, you know, they've been up and down all season long, but they're a very tough, resilient, defensive, playoff-structured team. So you know they're going to be tough. Seem like the Hornets haven't been there. They've had a great season. So can they translate what's happened from the regular season into the playoffs? And that's what it doesn't excite me about this, is that you look around the league right now, and in previous years, you know, let's take last year out just because of how crazy it was. The Warriors were like, well, how is anyone going to beat the Warriors? You know, and now eventually they did lose to the Raptors, but it was like, it's the Warriors championship to lose. I don't look at the league right now and think that anyone has that sort of a stranglehold on the league right now. I think there's probably legitimately four, five, maybe even to make a case of six teams that could actually come away and win the championship. And that's something that we haven't really seen, you know, legitimately in the NBA for a long time.
Let's get to Brooklyn. James Harden is obviously out, but they still have Durant and Irving, and yet it doesn't feel enough. I mean, what am I missing? Why can't just these two superstars keep it rolling for Brooklyn?
Yeah, it's a good question. I mean, because I think Kevin Durant is the biggest sort of pendulum swing there for the Nets. I think with him on the roster, I really think it's tough for any team to beat in the Eastern Conference to beat him four times.
Right.
But the way they've been playing these last four games, I'm starting to maybe question that a little bit, because there was those two games against the Milwaukee Bucks last, I think it was a Sunday and then Tuesday night in Milwaukee. And that was a really big test there for the Bucks. And they came through with shining colors. They really did. And then last night, the Nets go to Dallas, another game they really need to win, and can't quite get it done there. And the Mavericks, who, you know, they're also fighting to sort of avoid that playing tournament. So that was a big win for them. The one thing I will say about Brooklyn is, at times this season, they don't even care about defense, because when you've got that much offensive firepower, you know you can just go down there and you've got one or two or three guys who can get a bucket any time they want. So defense is one of those things that they play when they feel like it. But against the Milwaukee Bucks, this is why I bring that up, is the Bucks were like, well, we've got Giannis who can go inside and score. And the Nets really didn't have a defensive stopper. I mean, DeAndre Jordan's not that guy. He's a rim protector, but physically Giannis had no problems with him. Kevin Durant's a good defender, but again, Giannis can actually sort of use his size and athleticism to get inside. And then you've got Blake Griffin, who they picked up off the waivers. You know, he's no longer the Blake Griffin he was there in L.A. He's still a physical guy, but just not athletically enough to stop Giannis. So there is a little hope there against the Nets, and that is you just have to keep on scoring. I mean, it sounds a little bit dumb, because obviously you have to score against every team, but the point being, you've got to make them work hard on defense, because that's just not where they've been their strongest this season. They just come down and say, well, Kyrie can get us a bucket. He can go for 40. Kevin Durant can do that. James Harden, when he was playing at an MVP level. So offensively, they have all this firepower, but their weakness is just defensively. So you've got to keep the pressure up. And, you know, that's largely what the Mavericks did last night. I mean, Doncic didn't have a huge game by his standards. Didn't shoot the ball all that well. But they got contributions from Hardaway Jr. They got contributions from Dorian Finney-Smith. And even Jalen Brunson off the bench was good for them. And that's the key. Is like, everyone's just got to go out there and keep that scoreboard ticking. But if Harden comes back and he says he will be ready for the playoffs, now he might take a game or two, obviously, to sort of find his wind again there. But at full strength, the Nets just have, you know, provide so many offensive weapons that it is going to be tough to see a team, as I say, beat them four times. But they may not be healthy. So there is a chance there for the other teams, but you've just got to be locked in for the entire game.
I remember time in the Western Conference, maybe a little before Golden State, where you could look at the standings going into the playoffs and you could go, man, this is like five, six teams that could really win that conference. But do you look at the conference now? Is it really Utah, Phoenix, Clippers? I mean, with LeBron comes back, how are the Lakers in this mix? How is a team like Denver without Jamal Murray in this mix in terms of how you see the West shaping up?
Yeah, Denver's a really interesting one, because when Jamal Murray went down, I kind of thought that's pretty much it for their season, because he was so good in the playoffs for them last season. But they've responded really well. And in fact, they've won eight of their last 10.
Right.
Jokic, I would say from here, is pretty much locked up the MVP for the season as well. I mean, you know, I don't think he will get it unanimously, but I think he's probably going to win it fairly comfortably. But then you've got teams like let's go through them. The Jazz, I mean, they've been incredible this season, but we all remember what happened last season in Orlando in the bubble there. The Phoenix Suns, it's very, very rare for a team to go from not making the playoffs for 11 seasons to all of a sudden being a legit championship contender. But what Chris Paul has been able to do with that team, and Devin Booker's been great, and DeAndre Ayton's improved as well, and Mikal Bridges has been good for them. So they've got all those players playing well, but it's that playoff experience outside of Chris Paul, which they simply don't have. And you just sort of figure at some point the Suns are just going to be like, you know, I think they get out of the first round, but then it's just going to be a little bit tougher for them, especially if they play a team like the Clippers who have, you know, Paul George and Kawhi Leonard, although they also have something to prove after what happened to them in the playoffs last year. I mean, they fell apart and they turned on each other a little bit. So yep. The key, I think, to beating the Clippers is get out in front of them, because that's when I think they can crumble. But, you know, and again, the Lakers, if LeBron comes back and if Anthony Davis is healthy, then I think the Lakers may be out from the Western Conference simply because LeBron has earned that reputation through everything he's done over his years. I mean, we've seen him take bad teams to the finals there when he was with Cleveland back in 2007. And even in 2015, when Kyrie Irving got injured and Kevin Love got injured, you know, and he still won two games off the Warriors then. So we know what LeBron can do. It's just whether or not this season those injuries are perhaps, you know, he's got a lot of minutes in his legs. He's a little bit older. Do those injuries catch up with him a little bit? So, you know, a lot of intrigue there. All of those teams that I mentioned deserve to be given real consideration for the championship, but all have something to prove as well. And that's what I think makes it fascinating this season, because there's so many intertwining storylines. I mean, if you get the Jazz and the Clippers in the second round, let's just say hypothetically, you're looking at a situation where one of those teams is going to be bitterly disappointed that the season didn't go further than the second round.
Lee, always good talking to you, my friend. Thank you so much for getting us caught up. We'll catch up with you soon as we get closer to the playoffs. Thanks, my man.
Anytime, Tony.
You got it. Lee Ellis of The Athletic and hosts No Dunks podcast about NBA on the association as we get winding down. Like you said, about a dozen games remaining before we head into the postseason. Hey, once a reminder, if you got a tough job that you need cleaning up, Tub of Towels will get that job done for you. It literally breaks the bond that holds dirt and grease on the surface, cleans just about anything. You've been hearing me mention Tub of Towels, outdoor furniture, auto interiors, interiors, appliances, walls, floors, tiles, fabric, carpet. It'll get rid of permanent marker, paint stains, grease, oil, tar, silicones, ink, glue, food stains, drink stains, big messes, even bird messes on your car. The vapor lock lid snaps shut, keeps a tight seal, keeping the wipes moist, ready to tackle your tough job. It's also easy on the hands, contains aloe vera, vitamin E, and lanolin. So again, tough on messes, but easy on the hands. Tub of Towels available at O'Reilly, AutoZone, Advance, Napa, and Pep Boys Tub of Towels. We'll come back, talk a little bit about the Western Conference, because I did want to mention something he's talked about with the Nuggets next as we continue with Wake Up Call.